The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You have a position from which to speak, shall we say a platform, since you are a mother. And many of our listeners are mothers who stay at home and take care of their children, or wish they could stay at home and take care of their children. I know we have many working women who also listen, and we're very grateful for all the listeners that we have, such a variety. Thank you for your letters. And you and I have talked upon occasion about, let's say we have talked on many occasions about raising children, since
Yes. You
have so much bigger family than I had. You were my only child. What would you like to talk about today?
I'd like to talk about this idea that many mothers have, and I think it's because society has crept into the church so much, society's thinking has crept into the church, that many mothers think that their children have to develop at a certain pace and have to develop in a certain way to be normal. And because of this need that they think their children have to develop normally, they take their children to specialists if there's anything that seems slow about them. And then once they see the specialist tells them that they have to take them to either a play group or a special group specially designed for children with any slowness in any particular area. It used to be that slow learning or sickness or any kind of childhood affliction was taken for granted by the mother as part of life. Nowadays, it's something that the mother has to control and do something about and fix. We have a letter from a listener who says, "I've also been confused as to what kind of need her daughter, who is three, has for playmates. In this area, there is a preponderance of play groups. Even children whose parents plan to homeschool them may send them to a preschool because they feel the children need to develop in some special area. I have a friend who has two children who she sends the younger one to preschool in order for the younger one to develop her gross motor skills." And I'd never even heard of gross motor skills until this friend told me about her daughter and how it took a long time for her daughter to sit up when she was a baby, and it took a long time for her to walk. And so because of this slowness, she sent her daughter to this preschool, even though she's planning to homeschool her later. And this lady in the letter says, "I'm not considering this for our family, but how much does a child need to interact with little friends or need help to develop, say, in gross motor activities, in art or in music, etc., at this age? She is in church children's groups at least three mornings a week. I really would like to have the mind of Christ regarding these aspects of rearing our daughter." I can say from experience with having eight different children and watching them learn to talk that they definitely develop at very different speeds. And my little Theo, who is now 2 years old, is just beginning to say a few words. And up until now, most of what he said was with a question mark on the end. And we still are always trying to figure out what it is that he wants and what he's trying to say. And if we say it in simple English, he will nod his head. So he's understanding what we're saying, but he can't yet form his own words. Well, I have a 9-year-old, my Jim, who when he was 15 months began to speak very clearly and began to make sentences at an amazing rate. And to me, this is good and natural and normal to have two very differing speeds like this. But in this day and age, mothers think that they have to do something special. They have to take them to a speech therapist if they're not talking normally by a certain age. And I think of the walking, too. My little 2-year-old, Theo, didn't walk until he was 19 months old. Now, most, quote, normal, unquote, children walk around the year mark. And so people kept asking me, and because of the number of questions of when is he going to walk, I wonder when he's going to walk, you know, I had a temptation to worry about it. My husband had a great sense of don't worry about it, and would say this to me quite often, he's going to walk when he's ready. And so I really believe in letting children develop at their own pace, and I don't think we need to give them special therapy and have to take them to specialists if certain things aren't developing at normal speed. So I would just encourage mothers to relax. And even though many, many books are out there about what a child's normal development should be, maybe we shouldn't read those because they just make us worried and anxious about our own children. And God has certain gifts in each child, and each child is definitely going to develop at different paces in every way, whether it's talking or walking or learning to feed himself or how he speaks to other people. I definitely think we should teach our children to obey at a very young age, to say hello to people when people say hello to them. But it may be just a hi, which is what my Theo can say. He can't yet form the words of hi, Mrs. Grin, but he can say hi. So I think that's something that's required.
There are many ways in which we do need to help our children, but you're talking about just the ordinary, usual things which children eventually are going to learn to do, holding a cup and drinking out of a cup and walking and talking. I know we're going to get some letters from people saying this is very dangerous advice that Valerie's giving because your child could have something very serious wrong with him. But anyway, we'll leave that. We can't cover all these bases, and we can't be constantly backing and explaining that we are not talking about the worst-case scenarios that they think of. One question that comes up whenever anyone knows that my daughter homeschools is, what about socialization? And I know that we've talked about that before. We don't want to get onto too much about homeschooling, but let's just stick with this. The 2-year-old, for example, is he being socialized adequately?
Well, in my home, I would say definitely, because he has 6 older brothers and sisters. There are many of you out there who just have 1 or 2 children, and you may worry about whether your child should be in a playgroup because he's not getting enough stimulation and help from other children his own age. I definitely believe that the best socialization for even a child that is alone, that is an only child, best socialization for that child is interaction with his parents. Of course, there are going to be times when the parents are visiting another family with 1 or 2 children, and he will have opportunity to learn from those other children. But a mother needs to talk to her only child simply and seriously at a very early age, and the child does not have to have play groups. I really believe that. In fact, I think they learn more negative things from playgroups, and they have more problems from picking up what other children are doing than they would if they were kept at home. The Moores, Raymond and Dorothy Moore, even say isolation is better for children than too much peer group socialization. And okay, they give examples of some very famous people who grew up to do great things, wonderful inventors, who were literally isolated as children. And because they were isolated, they were given time to think. And you think of all these playgroups and all these children that are with their peers who obviously don't have time to think because there's so much going on around them that they become so distracted. And you mentioned to me how nice it is to be able to see a child sitting on a swing by himself in the corner of a yard. He's meditating within himself, and he's imagining, and that's a good thing. And I don't think we should force our children to play in competitive games or to have to be in a group if there's a group of children around, if the child likes to be alone. I think solitude is a good thing for children, as long as they are also receiving love and attention from their parents in the home.
Well, you know, those are fighting words, Val, to some people. But I think of your Uncle Tom and how he came home from first grade or kindergarten with a note from the teacher telling our mother that Tommy needed to learn to participate in games. Tommy always wanted to sit and read a book. Of course, he wasn't even reading, but he was turning the pages of a book. And he himself has told us that when the teacher asked, "Shall we make Valentines or shall I read you a story?" Everybody in the class wanted to make Valentines.
He wanted to.
Tommy wanted to have a story read. Well, of course, as you know, and I know, your Uncle Tom is a genius, and he's a writer, and he's a very gifted lecturer. He's a thinker.
Yes.
And he was allowed to think by our parents. And I'm sure our parents didn't try to conform all six of us into one cookie-cutter kind of a pattern. But I think what Janet Erskine Stewart says is very wise, that we need to allow the child the freedom to be by himself, to sit there quietly on a swing. It may be much more important for him to sit there alone than to play with a mechanical toy, for example, or to join in the other children in something that may be exciting and stimulating.
And I think of your friend Glenda, who had a very sad childhood. She was abused by her mother, but her great comfort and joy in life was to sit under a willow tree, and that was her quiet place. Children need to have quiet times, and I know we have talked before on the radio show about the importance of making your children have a quiet time in the afternoon. They need to be alone. And even if my children say, "Well, I don't know what to do," I'll say, "Well, you need to talk to God. If you can't talk to God, you can just lie down on your bed. You don't have to have any toys wherever you are." I still struggle with it sometimes because I have a soft heart. I want my children to be happy. And I have given in to their wanting to have a whole bunch of things with them. But I remember the times when I've said, "You don't have to have anything. I will set the timer. You need to be quiet. You need to rest. You need to think." I want them to think about what that means, to think.
Thank you, Val.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.